It's a privilege to be here to speak to you this morning. On Friday, I was in Boots the chemist, and there was a horrendous snaking queue up to the tills. So I took out my Mexican hat and put it on, and I immediately got served. And then I thought I'd found salvation, because there it was, the thing we've always dreamed of, the anti-aging cream. But I was saddened to know that it had nothing to do with length of days, but it is claimed to be the most effective wrinkle cream that has ever been presented. And it did strike me when I walked in this morning how young you were all looking. Length of days. Yes, time goes by so quickly. You know, it's almost been 12 months since Charlie baptized my grandson Thomas. And I was thinking about this yesterday, and it caused me to look out my baptismal certificate that will soon be nudging towards 70 years old. So I'm a bit concerned about what the good book says about 80 years and 10. But if thou art strong, then 80 years. So I'm ever optimistic and using that anti-wrinkle cream. 7th of February, 1942, the baptismal certificate says, and it's signed by W. J. Paradine Frost. Ring any bells?
Yes.
Paradine Productions, David Frost's dad. Never, ever did he know when he had me in his arms what was going to happen. So who knows? Those baptized by Charlie may indeed one day boast that they were baptized by the Archbishop of Canterbury. My grandson's 18 months old now. 18 months old. And he's produced his first scribblings. And only his mother can see there the hand of genius and all the outlines of one of the world's greatest artists. Mothers do that sort of thing. High ambitions for their children, and rightly so. Mind you, on Saturday when we were kicking the ball, he's got a terrific right foot. So I'm determined that he won't be signed for lesser clubs like Liverpool and Chelsea and Arsenal. He's being reserved for Spurs. So yes, time passes on. Children do their scribblings. I was reminded of the story of the little girl who was told by her teacher that she had to draw a picture of someone famous. So all the class was busy drawing their pictures, and the teacher come and stood behind the little girl, as teachers did and do from my experience, and with a critical eye said, "Well, who's that?" And the little girl said, "Please, that's a picture of Jesus." "Hmm," said the teacher. "How do you know?" "The Bible doesn't give a description of the physical Jesus. Artists down the years have given us an impression of what they thought he might have looked like, but no one really knows." "That's really not what you've drawn." "Huh," said the little girl. "It sure looks like him. It sure looks like him." She had an idea of what Jesus might have looked like, and I guess we all have our own ideas of the historical, physical Jesus, how he looked. But of course, it's not about how he looked, is it? It's who he was, what he said, the life he lived, the pictures he drew. And Jesus drew the best pictures that mankind has ever had presented to them, in as much of the word pictures that he gave us of himself and of God, the stories that he told that gave us insights into his own nature, his very person. And of course, not all these stories were actually true that he told, but they illustrated and demonstrated an eternal truth. Many of the parables give us wonderful insights and revelations. And we have one read to us this morning, how Jesus presented himself as the good shepherd, the shepherd that would lay down his life for his sheep. Not the sort of shepherd that we perhaps are used to, the one that drives the sheep. This was the Eastern shepherd who would go before, who would lead, who would test out the ground, who would prepare, who would lead through green pastures and still waters. The shepherd who would call his sheep by name, lay down his life for them. And there, of course, are insights into the supreme revelation that we have of God, his nature, his plan and his purpose for us, his great love in the cross of Calvary and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The good news that came from a graveyard, the presentation of eternal life for you and for me. It's 9 years yesterday when my mother-in-law, someone who many of you will remember, Barbara Leckie, died. I have visions, pictures of her sitting in front of a large table with 1,200,000 piece jigsaw puzzles. And she would spend ages putting the bits and pieces together, and eventually we would see the full picture revealed. And when it comes to my understanding of the words of Jesus Christ, the pictures he painted, the life he lived, I've realized through my experiences of life that I have to put these bits and pieces together. Put them together to arrive at a picture, an impression, an understanding of Jesus, his love, and how our Father God cares for us every step of our life. But I have to understand the good things and the bad, the great and the tragedies, through the faculty of faith. And I also have to understand, like that seesaw in Bedford Park that Thomas loves to sit on, that we all start off level. We can be elevated to the heights of spiritual experience and the assurance of I know that my Redeemer lives. And the next we can be plunged down to doubts and fear and darkness. And take heart. Be of good courage. Because if you've never experienced doubt, and you haven't known doubt, then you don't yet know faith. So through the faculty of faith, we understand more and more, much clearer, all our experiences of life, and the words and the teachings and the love of Jesus Christ. There was a little boy who once asked his teacher how he could find God. Where will I find him? The teacher answered somewhat gruffly, "Oh, go and look down a well." You'd spend some time looking for a well these days, wouldn't you? But the little lad found a well, and with a little concern, he tiptoed towards the wall of the well, and he looked down into that deep hole. But there was just water. A week later, the Sunday school teacher said, "Well, how did you get on, boy? Did you go and look down a well?" "Yes, sir," said the boy. "What did you find?" "Please, sir, I found myself." He saw his image in the reflection of the water. "Please, sir, I found myself." Well, that's where you'll find God. Now, we see God presented to us in so many ways in the world, in nature, through the lives of the saints, through those we love. So many, many examples. But the supreme way, the best way, the realistic way, the way to faith is when we find God within ourselves. When we stop looking in the empty grave and the relics of the past and the things that confuse and muddle us. And we find him living through his spirit, the spirit of the resurrected Christ in our lives. A faith that then is expressed in works and love and service and caring and shepherding and cradling and helping others, just as we too have experienced God's love. So we arrive at our impression, our understanding, the revealed picture of Jesus Christ as he truly is, God's Son, the Good Shepherd of the sheep, the one and only, that by his name we are redeemed and brought to eternal life. I close with a little story of the class of theological students that stood before their professor and rather mischievously said to him, "Sir," Jesus, accepting him, understanding him, following him, acknowledging him as Lord and Saviour, "just how long can we go through our lives without arriving at that decision?" Said the professor. "I suppose a couple of minutes before you die." "But sir, we don't know when we're going to die." "Ah. Then do it now. Do it now."